This video is made possible by Skillshare. The first 1,000 people who follow the link down in my description will get a free month trial of Skillshare Premium. This is Mexico City. It is currently the sixth largest city in the entire world, with nearly 3 million more people than New York, and it's by far the largest Spanish-speaking city in the world. Mexico City is high on the list of the world's most significant and influential cities, but it has one enormous and one very old problem. The entire city is sinking into the ground at an insanely alarming rate, with some parts at about half a meter every single year. That is so fast that many geologists have predicted most of Mexico City will sink about 20 meters beneath where it currently stands by the end of the 21st century, with some particularly heavy hit areas sinking more than 30 meters. Imagine your house sinking 30 meters beneath where it is today. That would be a hole so deep if you stood at the top and jumped in, it'd take about 2.5 seconds for you to hit the bottom. Unfortunately for millions of Mexicans, this is exactly what's going to happen to them very slowly over the course of the next few decades. And it's all because humans are really, really prone to choosing objectively terrible locations to place their cities in. Mexico City, in particular, has some of the worst geography stats of any major city in the world, and this is why. Let's rewind the geographical and historical clock back a little over 700 years ago. Back then, the region's geography and reality was very different from today. The city didn't exist, and in its place was a large lake called Lake Texcoco, wedged in a large valley surrounded by high mountains and volcanoes on all sides. Legend has it that for 100 years before this, the nomadic Mexica tribe awaited the fulfillment of an ancient prophecy. They would eventually settle down and build the greatest city in the world, where the location would be determined wherever they saw an eagle eating a snake in its beak while perched atop a cactus. Eventually, this prophecy would be realized when the Mexica finally saw this exact vision in the most unlikely of places for the greatest city the world would ever see. A small, unpopulated, and swampy island right here in the middle of Lake Texcoco. But undeterred by the formidable terrain, the Mexica kept true to their prophecy and began building their great city. And over the next 2 centuries, this small, swampy island was continually enlarged by landfills and floating gardens until it eventually evolved into Tenochtitlan, the capital of the Aztec Empire and one of the largest cities in the entire medieval world. By the time the Spanish arrived in 1519, Tenochtitlan was 5 times the size of London under Henry VIII, and at the time, considering the Aztecs' position on the tech tree, the city's geography didn't actually seem so bad. Without being fortunate enough to have any pack animals like horses or oxen, and without having discovered any practical use of the wheel, the Aztecs had no other means available to them for transporting goods and conducting trade than by moving across the water on boats. Tenochtitlan's various canals easily facilitated this role. And when you combine that with a complex series of dams they built that provided abundant clean drinking water, extremely rich and fertile soil, and a highly defensible position surrounded by a literal moat, it's no wonder that the city became Mesoamerica's most successful. That is, until the Spanish and Cortes arrived. In 1519, Tenochtitlan was put under a brutal siege, and under Cortes's direct orders, the Aztec dams across the lake were destroyed in order to turn Lake Texcoco salty and deny the Aztecs inside of any access to clean drinking water. Without their drinking water, and after a virulent smallpox epidemic, the Aztecs inside withered away, and the Spanish conquered and subsequently razed the city almost completely to the ground, brick by brick. By the end of the 16th century, the once great city of Tenochtitlan's population had declined by over 90%. And atop the ruins, the Spaniards founded their new settlement called Mexico City. And this is when the big problems really began. The Spaniards never rebuilt the Aztec dams and dikes and replaced them with more familiar streets and public squares instead. On the plus side, this allowed them to gradually reclaim more and more land from the lake to make more space for Mexico City's growing population and buildings. But on the other side, this meant that the city was expanding into a swamp that was surrounded by a lake, without any dam to keep out any of the lake's water. Flooding, therefore, became a constant problem for Mexico City as it expanded and grew, including one particularly bad case in 1629, when the city flooded for 5 straight years. The Spanish crown even discussed moving the location of the city to a bit less geographically problematic place, but evidently they thought, they just decided to stay and drain the lake even more and even more instead. Under the Aztecs, Tenochtitlan's population was around 400,000 at its peak, and was basically just a small but very dense dot within Lake Texcoco. By 1900, the population here was actually pretty much the same. But the 20th century would see the city's population absolutely skyrocket. By 1950, the city had grown to cover 30 square miles, and was home to over 3 million people. And today, Mexico City has grown from there to cover an area of approximately 3,000 square miles, and with nearly 22 million people. This enormous development in just 100 years has effectively wiped out any trace of the former waters of Lake Texcoco, and covered it instead with a lake of concrete, and it's wreaked total havoc on the valley's environment. Mexico City is in a region that receives even more rainfall than infamously rainy places like London or Seattle. But despite that, the city perpetually struggles to provide enough water for her citizens. Without the waters of Lake Texcoco, the city has been forced to drill deeper and deeper into the below-ground aquifers in her ever-desperate quest for water. The problem here is that the land beneath Mexico City is an ancient soft clay lake bed, and as Mexico City drills for more and more water, the clay weakens and crumbles. The water pressure within the aquifer supports the soil above it, which in turn supports the city above it. However, as the water is drained and removed, the soil above compacts. This compaction, combined with the lower water pressure pushing from beneath, will slowly cause the city to sink over time, and rainwater can't easily get into the aquifers to replenish them because the land above is now absolutely covered in the concrete sprawling chaos of the world's 6th largest city. And as a result, Mexico City is trapped in a vicious geologic cycle. As the population grows, the demand for water further increases. But without the waters of the natural lake, she is then left with no other choice but to drill deeper into the below-ground aquifers, which reduces the soil stability above and leads to the city sinking even further and further. With the increased development above from the increasing population, rainwater can't get in to replenish the aquifers, and the soil's instability continues to get worse. Climate change even further exacerbates these already dire conditions, since more heat and more drought in the region inevitably also means more evaporation and even more demand for the already scarce water supply, leading to even further drilling and, of course, even further sinking. Mexico City, of course, knows all of this, and through a complex series of canals and pipes, they now import about 40% of their water supply from other regions of Mexico. However, these canals and pipes are wildly inefficient. The constantly shifting elevation causes pipes below the ground to routinely crack and burst, while the struggling city government is rarely capable of mounting any kind of significant repairs. And as a result of that, for every 1 gallon of water that is pumped into the pipes of Mexico City, more than 1/3 of it will simply be lost. And the energy that's required to pump all of that water up to a city that's 1.5 miles high in elevation in the mountains is more than what the entire city of Puebla consumes, a city with roughly the same population as Philadelphia. So, as a result, Mexico City faces water shortages as if it were in the middle of a desert, despite receiving more rainfall than London. And there isn't any easy or obvious solution for them to get out of this, but the city's sinking problem affects far more than just the water supply. Since it affects some areas worse than others, roads will suddenly buckle and wobble. Buildings tip over and look like they're about to collapse. The metro system in some areas will resemble more of a roller coaster, while the destruction caused by earthquakes is greatly amplified. Mexico City is unfortunately located within a seismically active zone, and with most of the city's core located on the weak and silty clay lake bed, the soil will often behave more like a liquid during an earthquake, causing the buildings above to be even more greatly damaged than they otherwise would be. This is how, in 1985, the Mexico City earthquake caused such catastrophic damage and loss in life to the city. Mexico City's rapid and unexpected population explosion in the 20th century caused other unnatural problems to crop up as well. By 1992, Mexico City was home to more than 50,000 industries and more than 4 million motor vehicles. Due to the city's high elevation, a mile and a half above sea level, its oxygen levels are 25% lower when compared to a city that is precisely at sea level, and therefore, fuels don't combust as efficiently. Further, Mexico City is located within a high valley that's surrounded by tall mountains, which effectively keeps pollutants and exhaust trapped within without any place to go. This all meant that by 1992, the UN had labeled Mexico City as the world's most polluted city. But 30 years later, after a variety of methods, Mexico City has managed to get their air pollution levels down in the valley to about the same level seen in Los Angeles today. But air pollution continues to be the eighth leading cause of death within Mexico and causes about one in every 17 deaths in the country. For the Aztecs 7 centuries ago, settling on an island in Lake Texcoco not only fulfilled an ancient prophecy, but made perfect geographic sense with their understanding of technology and limited population at the time. In the current day, though, it's one of the worst locations imaginable for the industrialized world's 6th largest city, and has caused countless problems for centuries. But it's too late now, since pushing Mexico City somewhere else just isn't really feasible. Mexico City's countless geographic problems are just a fact of life now, and something that has to be lived with. Because in the end, nature will always win. Mexico City's struggle against her environment has been one of the most massive and intimidating projects that humanity has had to have ever undertaken. Maybe you're watching this and you've got your own project or personal goal that you've been meaning to start recently that you think is similarly challenging, and as a result, you're unsure that you have the skills required to go about doing it just yet. Whatever it is you're wanting to do, whether it's getting started creating your own YouTube channel, making videos like this one, or any other big project, the best place to get started is over on Skillshare. 5 years ago, I was in the exact same position as you. The project that I wanted to start was my YouTube channel, but I had absolutely zero idea what I was doing or how to even get started. I never went to school for animation or art, and I doubted my abilities to ever create anything that anyone would actually want to watch. In the end, I had to teach myself over the years by watching tutorial videos online here on YouTube. But eventually, I got introduced to Skillshare and through targeted classes like this one called Make Animated YouTube Videos by Evan from Polymatter, who's since become my friend, I accelerated my learning even further. The classes on Skillshare are from real professionals who have tons of experience in what they're talking about, who guide you step by step through the process, and all of it is specifically curated for learning without any ads getting between you and your goals. If you want to start creating your own videos here on YouTube, the perfect place to begin with would be the class YouTube Success: Script, Shoot, and Edit with MKBHD, taught by none other than Marquez Brownlee, or MKBHD here on YouTube. Or maybe you just want to improve your own productivity and motivation in general. My friend Ali Abdal has the perfect option for that as well with his class, Productivity Masterclass: Principles and Tools to Boost Your Productivity. But the greatest thing about Skillshare is that when you become a member, you can take any of these classes, as well as thousands of others, on nearly any subject you can imagine, ranging from animation and graphic design to web development and drawing, any of which can help you find a new passion, help you get ahead in school, or give you the skills needed for career advancement. It's the absolute perfect activity for whenever you have a lot of free time or when you're staying at home, and with its varying difficulty levels, it's still great whether you're a beginner or an expert. And best of all, you can watch absolutely all of these classes and get started today with an entire month-long trial completely for free by clicking the button that's on your screen right now, or by being one of the first 1,000 people who follow the link down below in my description. By doing this, you can achieve all of your own personal learning goals, and it really helps support real-life lore at the same time. So go ahead and check them out by clicking the button, and as always, thank you for watching.